This month on the One Prez Pod, Surprised by Hope. It is both a book by N.T. Wright, which is our book club book for the month. If you'd like to know more about reading that book or joining in the conversation at the end of the month, just call the church office. But it is also at the core of what we believe as Christians. What is our hope in Jesus Christ? Our hope in what is happening on Good Friday, Easter Sunday, in His death and resurrection. This month, join me, Reverend Blackburn, as we have conversations with local religious leaders about what the hope in Christ means to them. Welcome. Hello there, everyone. It's Reverend Tasha Blackburn on the One Prez Pod, and we are wrapping up our month on the themes in N.T. Wright's book, Surprised by Hope. And each week I've had a special guest join me. I hope you've enjoyed those conversations. To round out our month, I have a very special guest joining me today. Who is it that's here with me?
You're scraping the bottom of the barrel for guest hosts at this point.
It is.
I am Phil Blackburn.
It is Phil Blackburn, the other pastor at this church. And I asked you to be my final guest because I want to talk about something we say in worship all the time, and you're there
good
with
morning.
Me. Yeah, good morning, and here's the announcements, I know. But on Communion Sundays at our church, in our traditional service, we say the words of the Apostles' Creed, and that's an ancient creed. It's the second oldest creed we have in capital C, the church. And I wanted to
How old are we talking? Just give people some context here. We're not talking 200 years old. We're not talking 500 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
We're talking like 1,600 years old.
Exactly. Now, it was formed over time and added to, right, all of its parts. But and let's talk about this, because it was first offered, most commonly offered on Easter Sunday. Because I'll remind folks of the basics of the Apostles' Creed. It's, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And then there's second part, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, and that goes on. And then it's, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the third part. And at baptism, it was their answer to the baptism questions. They would have the questions of baptism, and then they would do this creed, and the person would say, do you believe in God the Father? And the new baptized person would say, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His Son? So it had this back and forth sense to it, and we still say it today. It's ancient. When ancient. I say it's an ancient creed, it's an ancient creed, and so it always should be linked to that idea of baptism too, of that idea of the believer. Mm-hmm. The first part, as I've noted, is about Creator God, God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. Second part is about Jesus and His life and ministry, second person of the Trinity. And then the third is sort of about the third person of the Trinity,
it's
but not really.
It's a grab bag.
It says, I believe in the Holy Ghost, but then it's a choose your own adventure of phrases.
Yeah, which is pretty much in line with every creed ever written. Like, lots of words about God the Father, lots of words about Jesus.
I know. We should talk about that sometime. We don't know what to say about the Holy Ghost, so then we just add these grab bag things. But here's what the phrases we say, and then I want us to focus on two today, okay? Under this heading of Easter and hope.
Are you asking them if they agree to it or me if I agree to it?
No, we're just going to talk about the two phrases. So, I believe in the Holy Ghost. That's the first phrase. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, which means the universal church, in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Some of you probably were mouthing those words with me because you do have them memorized, maybe from your childhood. So, I want to talk about those last two today because they have everything to do with what we believe happened at Easter, what we believe our hope is now, and what our hope is for the future. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. What do you think about when you say those two phrases?
When I think about the resurrection of the body, I always think of the catacombs in Europe.
Yeah, say more about that.
So
you love those tight spaces.
Oh, that's when I truly learned how claustrophobic I am. It's when we started going down the stairs in Rome into the catacombs.
Yes, yes.
Oh, boy. The ancient Christians dug these tunnels under Rome and other major European cities so that they could bury their dead there. Up until this point, most people burned their dead.
Mm-hmm.
For Christians, though, they took this, especially early Christians, they took the resurrection of the body incredibly literally. And so they didn't want to burn their bodies because they were going to need them soon.
They need that body.
Right,
yeah.
They needed it soon.
Any minute now.
Excuse me. And so they built the catacombs. And when you go in, there's like some catacombs, the ones we saw in Rome, there's like a chapel in there, if you remember any of that stuff. Anyway, and the bones of the saints still line the walls of the catacombs. So when I think about it, I think of that because that gets me. First of all, I just think it's interesting. I like history and I like the history of our beliefs. But it also gets me, I think, into the right headspace to align with the creed itself. Like, that's the people that wrote that creed were then doing that practice because of what they said in that creed.
Yeah.
So I believe in the resurrection of the body. So I am going to go dig a hole in the tunnel system and keep my bodies in there. And on the other side of that, the people that persecuted those people thought the best way to punish them was to burn them.
Yeah.
Because it didn't allow them to go and be buried
because
in the
catacombs. That's how important the belief was.
Now we don't hold it near that literally.
I don't know that we think much about the resurrection of the body at all.
No.
And what its significance is. Even though many of us have this creed memorized and would say we believe in it or believe what it says. But what it means is this sort of, it's a little bit mind-blowing and existence-blowing thing to think about that bodies matter that much. Bodies matter that much. So when people will say, well, I'm sure Uncle Joe is up on a cloud somewhere.
Right.
No, he's not. I'll just be real frank. Yeah. He's not up in that cloud.
He may be, but that's not what the Christian faith says.
He may be. Yes, he may be. But we believe in resurrected bodies. That's what we believe our ultimate existence will be, that our ultimate end will be this resurrected body. And we believe that because of Jesus. Because he was a resurrected body.
Right.
You know, Thomas touches the wounds. He is himself, and he is also transformed. There is this both thing going on, but it's a body. And somehow, it's kind of mind-blowing to me to think about, but somehow bodies are that important, that they also get resurrected, not just a floating head or a disembodied soul.
Right. And so the reason that's significant, too, is if you chuck the body over the edge, if you just say the physical corporeal body doesn't matter, then it allows you theologically to chuck all of visible creation over the cliff. None of it matters.
Yeah.
What matters is the mystical existence that transcends this world. That's just not what's laid out for us in Scripture.
That's just not what we see Jesus doing.
No.
For example, he has such interesting things to say about the kingdom of heaven, right? And in some gospels, it's the kingdom of God. Some gospels, it's the kingdom of heaven. They seem to be interchangeable. And Jesus is pretty clear that it's both already here and not fully complete, but that there's something happening
now. Right.
Currently in this physical space. Mm-hmm. In this sort of very ordinary looking moment sometimes that this is a part of the heavenly kingdom even now. And so you can't just chuck it. Can't just chuck it.
And so this ties into that idea that I think you've talked about and Wright talks about with the new heaven and the new earth.
Yeah.
Like earth is part, there's a new creation.
Yeah.
And so that is all woven together in the way that we think about what's next is because you get glimpses of what's next by paying attention to what is.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. So I'm just going to ask you, you know, just straight up, what do you see in Scripture? What do you see in your own faith? Where have you come down on what happens when we die?
I mean, the Wright book really influenced me a lot on this with the blissful rest piece. I think you've talked about that and certainly will at book club. But to me, what happens when we die is we are we are fully at that point in the hands of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's, I don't think about so much of what I believe happens next as I think about in whose care will I be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in the care of God fully, even mm-hmm. more so than in this world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's in a different way. And so whatever's going to happen happens under the auspices of that core belief.
It's not something to add to your to-do list.
Negative.
Or something,
yes.
Right? No.
Yeah.
I am fully
in
the care of God.
Yeah, I mean, we all know that our feelings of control are a myth to begin with. Well, death really pretty much hammers that home, because at that point you have no control. You're in control of God fully.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever God's going to create out of what we see and what is, it's up to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with it. I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because you don't have any control.
I know. I don't have any control, anyway, so what's the matter?
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting when you look back, and Wright talks about this at the beginning of his book, really for the first several hundred years of the Christian faith, there was a pretty much 100% consensus that we sleep, this blissful rest, kind of, at death, to rise again with Jesus, And so there was this two-step understanding that, you know, as he points out, almost every religion in the world believes in some sort of life after death. They believe in some sort of life after death. But we don't just believe in life after death. We believe in this very specific thing of resurrection.
Yeah.
And resurrection is, at least scripturally speaking, at least what we find there, it's a two-step process. First, we sleep, and then he causes us to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't know if you've ever struggled with that when you talk with families or when someone is in grief. Speaking for myself, I know I have sometimes, because that is not the cultural Christian understanding any longer
mm-hmm.
of what happens at death. And I mean, and I haven't been there. You know, I haven't been there. I don't claim to be an expert here. I'm just sharing what I see in Scripture and what I see in Jesus' own teachings. But it is interesting when you are pastoring people who are grieving, and to know how much to sort of mm-hmm. say, talk about resurrection versus listen to and lean into more the cultural understanding of clouds and mm-hmm. All of that. Do you ever think about that when you're working with a family?
Only when I'm working, I would say, with the most unchurched families. Like, when I'm working with families who maybe have a different flavor of Christian faith than I have, or who have been in church a long time and maybe just don't have a sophisticated theology around it, I'm fine. And, I just understand. Yeah. None of us really know, so what's it really
matter?
Yeah,
like I said, I haven't been there yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Where I struggle with it is when, there's just no sense of, with the family I'm working with, just no sense of anything greater at all, or
mm-hmm.
a sense that's just spectacularly detached from anything related to biblical, scriptural articulations of what's next, where it's just completely, I believe he's, sitting on a fishing boat, they believe that he's sitting on a fishing boat, cracking open a beer and having his best day.
Yeah.
Like, if heaven's my best day, if what's next is my best day, I'm going to be fairly disappointed, because even my best day, I still lived in separation from God.
Yes.
So, like, that's just a pretty spectacular failure of imagination and yeah, so that's where I struggle with
that. Well, and
it's
potentially a little bit of an indictment on our Christian teaching.
Yes.
And the job we're doing. You know, something Wright does talk about is funeral practices.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was unheard of, until pretty recently, the modern era, to put something in a casket with someone
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And now it can be very much commonplace. And some of that is understandable, but like making sure their favorite beer's in there
right.
and things like that,
yeah.
which is falling into that description you're having.
Yes.
It's like we are not sharing the good news of the Christian faith then yet, and that God has bigger plans for you than that.
Yeah.
God has greater desires for you than that. And it is that all of this gets redeemed.
Right. Yeah, I remember a time in Scotland when I did a sermon for a lovely family. They were great. Very nice,
nice I'm sure people. They're listening now.
Sure they're listening now. But like the man who died was buried in his favorite soccer team's jersey. And it's like, yeah, we didn't do a great job on that one. they're articulating things. I mean,
this is coming from a sports fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the same team, but it's like, yeah, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. Like, anyway, I think to put a coda on things, like one of the couple things that I've found very useful. I know you've talked about The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis.
We did briefly last week. Yeah,
I think that's a great book. Also, there's a movie by Terrence Malick called The Tree of Life, which I think. It never says you're watching the resurrection, but you perceive that that's what you're seeing is the resurrection. And it's a really lovely kind of cinematic image of something. Mm-hmm. If you need help with your imagination, like if you need help kickstarting, what does this look like? Tree of Life's weird. It's a weird movie.
It's strange,
but
Phil.
It's a great movie. and its articulation of the resurrection is I think interesting and closer. I think what we're talking about here today and in this podcast.
And I think I would add to that in terms of thinking about, okay, so then how does this affect my Thursday? You know, how does if I did start to believe some of these things more deeply or thoroughly or fully, how does that make me a person of hope now? You know, one of the first things that it brings me to is this idea of mystery and of trust. As you said, what I believe happens when I die is that I am fully and completely in the care of God, in God's care. And do I know what that all looks like? No, I do not. Can I come to a place where that's beautiful, that there's mystery? Mm-hmm. Like that's mm-hmm. actually such a gift that I don't know it all.
Right.
Thank God I don't know it all, right? So that mystery piece and being appreciative of the mystery of the greatness of God, and then also that piece of trust that says, I don't know everything. I know I will be in God's care.
Yeah.
I think that really can affect any given Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, before we end today, though. I've been asking each of my special guests.
All good.
And you fall under the category of special guest. Do you have a favorite passage, story in the Bible that's on Easter Sunday or right after Easter Sunday? Do you have a favorite?
Oh, yeah.
What is it and why?
Well, I do like it in John where they see Jesus. They're out on the water and they see on the Sea of Galilee, and they see Jesus over, they see a person over there, and they recognize him as Jesus. And Peter and then the beloved disciple are always competing with each other. And Peter, to show his excitement, just jumps in the water and starts swimming. And John just stays in the boat.
Mm-hmm. That beloved disciple,
in the boat. And like, of course, beats Peter over to the shore.
Yeah.
But I just love that image of Peter's like, I'm going to get there so fast, and then is last. Like, anyway.
Peter has a lot of that going on in his life, doesn't he?
I do like that. So, anyway, there's the copier going off, which sounds like a good sign to wrap this up.
Well, I want to say my favorite.
Oh, yeah. You haven't said it yet?
Well, let's see. No, I haven't this whole month. I do like so many of them, but I will say one that has stuck with me since a sermon. Mm-hmm. I heard about it. Yay for the power of sermons. And it was your internship supervisor on your year-long internship in Corpus Christi, Texas. A shout out to Reverend David Evans. And I remember he preached a sermon on the account of Mary in the garden. And they've seen the empty tomb and everybody else has run away, but she's in the garden crying. Because she thinks they've stolen the body and she doesn't know what to do about it. And then Jesus comes up behind her. She doesn't know who he is. She thinks he's the gardener and, you know, all that mistaken identity stuff. And then he says her name. That's all he says. He says, Mary. And David's sermon, I remember, was all about the before and the after.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the gateway arch of existence, right? That there is this before moment when all it is he's a stolen body. Like for everybody, not just Mary, but he's just a stolen body. It's just a problem to be solved and a grief to be born, right? And then he says that name, and from then on, everything's different. And I just remember that sermon, and that has always stuck with me and been very powerful, this before and after, like the crux that mm-hmm. The entire galaxy sort of hinges on, the hinge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I love that. I love that story on Easter Sunday.
David Evans.
Okay, so see, we had to get in a shout out to one of my favorite pastors I know. This is the end of our month on N.T. Wright's book. I will let our listeners know, if you are listening to this before Sunday, April 30th, you are invited. Come on out to the Bakery District if you'd like. We're going to have a discussion about the book that we've been referencing the themes all month. That's at 5 o'clock at the Fort Smith Bakery District. Anybody's welcome to come and talk about the book or listen in on the conversation. If you're listening after that, we had a great time.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. So next month we'll have a whole different theme for our podcasts. Do you know what that theme
is?
No,
I can't remember. And
I know
look
it's
it going
to be great. I can tell by your eyes you didn't know. But you know what? They'll have to tune in next week. Next week we will have a whole new theme for May.
It'll be great.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you enjoy this podcast, go ahead and hit like in your podcast feed. It really helps. Until next time, peace.